The Lord has been pressing upon my mind about friends and friendships. And there are several scriptures that speaks about having a friend. The first one is Proverbs 18 and 24 that we're going to use, and it says, "A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly." Can you imagine your life without any friends? Friends are good for us, aren't they? There are friends that are loyal. There are friends that we can depend on. There are friends that have disappointed us. So all of these things has to do with life. But if you want a friend, you will have to be friendly. You'll have to learn how to be a friend, to have a friend. So a friend is one who is loved and esteemed. And it is said that a true friend is one to whom you may open your mind and heart without fear of rejection. That's a definition. That's a true friend. And maybe down through your life you've had a close friend that you felt that comfortable with. And possibly, if you've had any emotional issues in yourself, it's been difficult to trust other people to open up to them and bare your soul. If at any time in your life you have had rejections, it causes us to feel fearful of trusting anyone to be a real friend. I've been in a place like that, and maybe you have too. And I would only allow myself to get so close to other individuals once you've passed through that kind of experience. And so I had a friend, I have a friend. And one day we were talking, and I said that I was afraid. I was afraid that I might be rejected again. And this person said, "If our friendship is broken, it's because you would run me off." Well, we don't want to run our friends off. So we want our friends. We need our friends. So Proverbs 17 and 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times." That's a true friend. There was someone else that said this statement. I read it. It said, "A friend is one who knows all about you and loves you all the same." That's a true friend. I was reading in the little streams in the desert. And the writer was telling of a setting where there were various individuals, and the question came up and it said, "What is a friend?" So I'm going to give that to us this morning. It says, one was an athlete. He said, "Well, in my opinion, a friend is a balancing pole that enables us to walk the tightrope of life without falling." So because of his place in life, being an athlete, he had his mind on that kind of a setting, and he likened a friend to a balancing pole. One of the other individuals was a physician, and he said, "Well, I believe a friend may be likened to a soft bandage and a soothing ointment for the cuts and bruises of life. So we're going to need a friend in the cuts and bruises of life. And we're all going to have it. You're not going to be exempt from cuts and bruises of life. Well, another individual that was in the group, he was a botanist, and he said, a friend is a vine that clings to us and hides the discrepancies and rough places of life. And then a florist added, yes, and the greater the ruin, the closer the friend clings. So they're likening a friend to like a vine that clings to us in the rough places of life. We need a friend. We need friends. And then another one said, well, a friend is a golden link in the chain of life. And then another one said, a friend is one who comes in when the world goes out. And that particular person was suffering grief and sorrow, and her statement was, well, a friend is one that comes in when the world goes out. And then there was an elderly gentleman in that group, and he said, the best friend of all is Jesus, who said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So ultimately, we need Jesus to be our friend. And we know the song that is so familiar that we could probably all sing the verses without looking. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus loves us at all times. He is all of those things that people were trying to describe in human friends. He will be there in our sorrows, in our grief, in our rough places of life. He'll be that soft band-aid and the ointment to cover the wounded heart. He'll be there. He's a friend. Then I go to Proverbs, back to Proverbs 18 and 24, the latter part of it. I just gave you the first part a while ago. And it said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, it's possible to have friends in this life, human friends, I'm saying, that might even be closer to us than our siblings or family members. It's possible. Sometimes it's even a little difficult to be a friend to your blood brother or your blood sister. It happens. Maybe lack of communication or misunderstandings or whatever it is that hinders a closeness with our family members. But we may find someone sometime that will be a true friend that we're not related to. But this one speaks about somebody that is very special, because this friend will be there, will be loyal, will not leave you, will not forsake you. There are friends like that in this life, but we have to go back. You know, the scripture says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. And so when we begin to look around at human beings and we find imperfections and disappointments, we have to go back to the one that is perfect and will always be perfect, and that will be Jesus. So he can be your friend through thick and thin. We use those terms, don't we? We talk about marriages that come through thick and thin. Well, Jesus will be that way for you and me. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Going to give you a few verses over in 1 Samuel. Going to look at chapter 18, 1 through 3, and then we're going to chapter 20 and 41 to 42. And we're going to just give you some verses about David and Jonathan. They were very close friends. they had a relationship that even in death, we'll read that scripture too, when Jonathan died, David had a great mourning for his friend. The first verse says, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." That's a true friend. That's someone that will love at all times, that will not be judgmental, that will not forsake you or will not reject you. Jonathan and David never rejected each other. They stood by each other throughout Jonathan's whole life. Verse 3 says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." So Jonathan is expressing to David how much he cares, how much he loves. And he's just giving him all of these things as a token of his friendship. Well, we go down into the 20th chapter, and events have taken a turn, and King Saul is turned against David, but Jonathan is still his friend. And he said, "Now I'm going to judge how my father feels." It doesn't say it this way, I'm paraphrasing. "And if it is dangerous for you to stay here, then I'm going out into a field and I'm going to shoot some arrows. And if I say these words, it will mean that you are safe and you do not have to leave. But if I say the arrows are beyond you, then you will know you cannot come back." And so that was the setting here. And we find and we know that David had to run for his life. But I want us to look at verses 41 and 42 as they were parting. These were their parting words. "And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another, and they wept one with the other, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." That was a hard time, because they didn't know when they would see each other again. To me, this is a beautiful picture of true friends that love at all times. When we go to 2 Samuel then, the first chapter, and we find where Jonathan is now dead. He was taken in battle along with his father. Verse 17 speaks of David lamenting with a lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan. And these are the words that he said, verses 25 and 26, he said about Jonathan, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places." Verse 26, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful." It's valuable to have a close friend that you can trust and that they will trust you. So in life, if you find a friend, you're blessed. We are blessed to find a friend. There is another scripture in Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. And it just gives us a little thought of how important friends are. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 and 12. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 9 says, two are better than one. If we have a friend and we're not standing alone, how often have we had heartache and desired to confide in a friend? Oh, it's so wonderful to have someone that you can trust with your heartache. But this says that two are better than one. Then go to verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You can just liken this scripture to literally falling down. We've all probably had our fallings, and I'm not talking about spiritual. I'm saying we've literally taken a tumble and fell on the ground. And oftentimes people come running, and it's a bit embarrassing, but how helpful it is to have someone help us up off the floor. And so it's likening that with friendship. If we fall, if we have, who will help me if I fall? What if I have a battle and I feel like that I have failed in the battle? If I have a friend that I can go and pray with, that I can confide in, that we can encourage one another. But what if I'm alone? What if I don't reach out? We have a song. It says, we need each other, brethren. And so many verses in there speaks about me helping my brother or my brother helping me. You know, this morning, the older I get, the more I realize how much I need my brethren. I need each of you. We all need each other. And it's so much better than being isolated and all alone. Don't you know that isolation is a trick of the enemy? He wants us to feel like, who can I go to? Who is my friend? Those are thoughts we need to reject. They come from the enemy. I have had in my nature a characteristic to isolate myself. The enemy has known that was a weakness in me. I had gone to Monarch at this particular time and going through a very hard place in my life. And I basically just holed up in my camper. I didn't associate. I didn't try to get any courage or comfort from anyone. I would go down to the service and I would walk between the buildings. I didn't walk on the main road where I had to speak to someone. And so I'm doing that every time it was service. I'd go to service, I'd leave and go back the same little path and go back to my camper. And then one day, as I was passing through my little path, my Aunt Margaret saw me. Well, Maxine, when did you get here? And I said, well, I've been here all week. And she picked up on it that something was wrong. You see, two are better than one. Somebody can help us if we allow it. We have to let people be a friend and be a help. And then she started speaking to me about what is wrong. She pulled it out of me. That's what a friend can do. A friend can help us in our troubles, in our sorrow, and our grief if we share with our friend. This scripture goes on in verse 12, and it speaks about even being, if one prevail against him, the enemy, let's say just the devil himself is what's prevailing against you. Did you know what the scripture says? That where two or three are gathered in his name, there's something different than if I'm at home and I'm not sharing it with anybody. I'm not telling anybody that I'm having a battle. I'm just holding it in. What happens? The enemy just gets entrenched. We have to expose the devil. We have to tell it out. We have to share it. I remember a message years ago. I may not remember all that was said, but I've never forgotten the scripture. It was preached right here, Brother Souter. And there was problems in the congregation. And he preached on a scripture that said about emptying from vessel to vessel. And he talked about a milk can. Now, we are not familiar with that because we're in a different time. But at the, you know, years ago where they had milked the cows and put it into a sterilized can, and then they emptied it into something else, they didn't leave the milk in that one to sour. And he brought out the thought like this: if we leave something in our vessel, it will sour. It will become stink. It will be a stink. But if we empty out from vessel to vessel and cleanse that part, there will be a sweet smell. When you and I are troubled, we need each other. We need to be able to empty out to one another and trust one another. Oh, let us be trustworthy to each other. Let us not go and spread it. Let us give them our confidence. Let us hold confidence with one another. But this scripture says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Oh, there's power in unity. There's power in working together. Oh, the Lord, this is his plan. He never intended any of us to just isolate ourselves or to be standoffish. I'm not going to let you know what I'm going through. I'm not going to tell it. Did you know that exposing it is part of the victory? Bringing it out into the open? I don't know if but I have this written in my phone. I read it somewhere. And it says, in order to have the victory, you have to get it out of the darkness. You have to get it into the light. And the way to get it into the light is to bring it out and allow others to help us. Now I want to speak just a little bit in closing of the synonym of friendship. And the Lord inspired this to me. I mean, he just gave it to me. I didn't even realize that this was a synonym for friendship. And the synonym is fellowship. Fellowship means a condition of a friendly relationship. That's what fellowship is. Do you know if you have fellowship one with another? Do you feel fellowship? Well, Another word for fellowship was comrade. Well, we don't really think of our friends as being comrades, but it simply means a close friend or companion. And in the New Testament, in closing, I want us to think about the fellowship of the body of Christ. The friendship of being a saint of God, one of God's chosen. And so it said that in the New Testament, fellowship was spoken of in a spiritual sense. My fellowship with you and your fellowship with me has to do with my fellowship with God and your fellowship with God. We can be in agreement simply because we want to agree with each other and it not be in agreement with the word of the Lord or with God. But the true fellowship is when you're in fellowship with God and I'm in fellowship with God. And then we can have true fellowship. But it goes beyond friendship. Fellowship goes beyond just being a friend. It is a common love for spiritual things. And then this scripture came to my mind. It is seeing eye to eye. Do we see eye to eye? And this, that same scripture says, do we speak the same things? That is the will of the Lord, that you and I be in fellowship with Him, in fellowship with each other. We see eye to eye, and we're speaking the same things. We have the same judgments. Oh, well, we may not like the same color. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the word of the Lord. We understand what the word of the Lord says, and that has made a common bond between us. And it should be different than just having a friend out in the world. Amen. We can have a friend out in the world. You can have a friend. You can have acquaintances. Now, acquaintances will not be as close as a real friend. But we've grown up maybe with neighborhood children or whatever that were friends. But what I'm speaking of now, this fellowship is beyond that. It's a fact that we have a common belief and that makes us come together and we're bonded in our spirit. There is a scripture also that says, speaks about us coming to the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, and that is such a blessed place. Have you ever come to be met someone and your spirits blended? Maybe they weren't of the Church of God, but they had a spirit that was right. You knew it. You had fellowship with them. But how much more should it be in the Church of God? How much more should you and I have fellowship one with another? Friendship, fellowship, comradeship, because we have something common. We both see it eye to eye, and we're both speaking the same things. We understand what each other is speaking. So I have a few scriptures now to close with, and it was 1 Peter 3 and 8 through 12. And it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. How do you want to have fellowship? This is how you and I can have fellowship one with the other. If there is anything otherwise, it breaks the fellowship. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him hate evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, this is how we have fellowship, one with the other. And then we have, and I want to emphasize in that passage, love as brethren. Love each other because we are part of the family of God. Because we are saved. Because we have the blood of Jesus covering our lives and our souls. Because we are all striving to enter in at the straight gate. Then Hebrews 13 and 1, it just is a little portion of a verse. Let brotherly love continue. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, as touching brotherly love, ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God. We need to love one another. We need to forgive one another. We need to be kind one to another. Romans 12 and 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then Jesus said, if you have, I'm just paraphrasing this too, if you have this kind of love one for another, it says that all men will recognize that you are his disciples. This is the very key for people looking on and saying they belong to Christ when we love one another. Thank the Lord. 1 John 1, 6 and 7, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I meant to bring a book up here. Would you hand me a songbook, please? Because I want to end with the song number 9. The bond of perfectness. Now remember that fellowship and friendship are synonymous. So let us be a friend to one another. Let us show friendliness. Let us show love one to another. I'm going to look at verses 1, 3, and 4, and it says, how sweet this bond of perfectness. The wondrous love of Jesus, a pure foretaste of heaven's bliss. And then look, oh, fellowship, so precious. Don't you know, to make heaven, we're going to have to be in unity and have fellowship. Because there is fellowship and unity in heaven. We cannot be at odds with each other and make heaven. We must clear out the way before we can make heaven. Because there is a fellowship that is precious in heaven. And verse 3, oh, praise the Lord for love divine that binds us all together. 1,000 cords our hearts entwine. Are the hearts entwined this morning with 1,000 cords? Forever and forever. I want to tell you that's what we need today. The enemy is trying to divide. The enemy tries to separate. The enemy tries to bring heartache and trouble and unforgiveness among the brethren. But God wants you and me to dwell in unity and have fellowship one with another. And then verse 4, God over all and in us all and through each holy brother. No power of earth or hell withal can rend us from each other. Thank the Lord this morning for a fellowship that is divine and a fellowship that is sweet. A friendship of brethren. A friendship of the saints. That's what fellowship is. It's a friendship of the saints. Do you count the saints your friend? I've told this story before. But one time I was at Guthrie and during a meeting and we were getting ready to have feet washing. And I thought as I was headed back to the dining room, I said, I'm going to wash the feet of the one I love the least. And I looked around and I could not find which one that was. So when we love the brethren, there'll be no favoritism. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to feet washing and choose someone that you're close to. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, when we serve the one that we care for the least, the enemy can't have advantage. The Lord can break down those walls and barriers that the enemy is trying to build between brethren. Let us lay aside all of those things. Let us see eye to eye and speak the same things and have friendship or fellowship one with another. Pray for me.